Lakhir, in fact, very important and beneficial speech about the asceticism and the zuhd of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived a very simplistic lifestyle, knowing that the main goal and the main aim was to pass through and go on to the hereafter, because the hereafter is the real life, the true life, and this world is just, we're passing by, we're travelers. Like Marana mentioned, the hadith is had fi dunya yuhibbuk Allah, have zuhd in the world and Allah ta'ala will love you. And as Marana mentioned right at the end as well, we can have one conference, we can have 10 conferences, we can have 100 conferences. Never can we finish discussing the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the ulama know there's not one seerah book or two seerah books or 10 seerah books. There are hundreds and hundreds of books of seerah, and every book is filled with some benefit that the other book does not have. And this is because the ulama, when they sit down to write, some ulama, they write with a pen of love. And when you write with the pen of ishq and the pen of love, then Allah ta'ala grants you the ability to speak more and more. So some of the scholars of hadith would say, when we sit down to narrate hadith, sometimes they would sit down, one of the great scholars, his name is not coming to mind, Mir Murna might know his name, he was used to teach in Madrasa Falai Darin in India. And he would say, whenever I sit down to teach hadith, if my heart is empty, I just close the book, I don't teach it. Because hadith is not something that is just merely you look at commentaries and you come and say. Rather, Allah Ta'ala has to put ilham in your heart, Allah Ta'ala has to make your heart filled with benefit, and then that benefit passes on to the people. And that's why one of the scholars, the scholars of hadith, the muhaddithin, used to mention, "Ahlul hadithi hum ahlullahi wa khassatu, illam yashabu nafsahu anfasuhu sahibu." Aw kama qal. They used to say that the people who sit in the gatherings of hadith, recite the hadith, listen to the hadith, they are the most closest people to Allah. Why? Because they spend all of their time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if they cannot sit in his company, they are sitting in the company of his words. It's as if he's directly speaking to them. So in this gathering, we are hearing the words of Allah, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's as if we're spending a day in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, I hope that everybody maintains the etiquettes of this gathering and make intention. The intention is that I want to take back something from this gathering that will benefit me, that will make my life better, that will make me get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just one or two announcements. Firstly, there are some bottles of water scattered alongside the sides of the masjid. So if anyone is feeling thirsty, it is this conference will last in Isha time, so there is another 2 hours or a bit more than 2 hours to go. So you can get a bottle of water, inshallah. And if they finish, no problem, we've got more bottles of water. So please help yourself, and please sit back and inshallah listen to the remainder of the program. Inshallah, for the next speech, we have a very esteemed guest from Oldham. He's the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa, and mashallah, he's been serving the community of Oldham for over 10-15 years, I'm sure, before I can remember. And mashallah, Mawlana has had a great influence on his community, and he's mashallah one of the gems from the scholars of Oldham. Allah Ta'ala accept him, Allah Ta'ala bless him, Allah Ta'ala make him a means of khair and afiyah and barakah for the Oldham and the people of Oldham, inshallah. So I'd like to call upon Mawlana Akmal Saab to come up and deliver the next talk, inshallah. And also, before Marna starts, I'd just like to mention to everyone, if they can do a special request for du'as for his father-in-law. Marna's father-in-law is very ill. You could say he's towards the end of his life. So Marna has to rush back from the program to attend to that as well. So if everyone does du'a, Allah Ta'ala grants him shifa, Allah Ta'ala grants them afiyah, Allah Ta'ala makes the affairs of the family easy for them, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال الله تعالى لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected ulama, elders, guests, youngsters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now we here to learn, hear about our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And as Sheikh said, we don't praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can't. But by mentioning, talking about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're actually impressing ourselves. We're actually praising our own self by association with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, my talk, my discussion is going to be about the akhlaq and the character of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I see a lot of youngsters here. Who would perhaps be the youngest? Is there anyone who's only 2 here? 3? 4 years old? Anyone? Have I got children upstairs? Ladies upstairs. How old are you, if you don't mind asking? 13? MashaAllah. Now obviously, the message has to be addressed. I see the majority as very, very young ones. Actually, the talk is more befitting for you. When we talk about the akhlaq and the character, the manners of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it actually is better for the youngsters than the elders. As far as akhlaq is concerned, everyone needs good akhlaq. And everyone wants good akhlaq. And everyone should appreciate good akhlaq. But one sad reality is, not everyone values good akhlaq. I want people to treat me well. Yes? So normally when I talk, I ask a lot of questions. So brothers, you too, engage with me. Okay, I might just ask you suddenly a question and you don't want to not be in a position to answer. That's just the way I talk. So I might suddenly point at someone and ask for some sort of response. So if you're thirsty, grab yourself a bottle of water, but just engage with me for a few minutes. We all appreciate good akhlaq, isn't it? Good manners, good behavior, good conduct. Do we ever feel happy if someone is mean to us? No. Do we ever feel happy if someone abuses us? We all want, natural, we all want people to be good to us. But it's a two-way thing. We want people to be good to us. We have to be good back to people as well, don't we? So we like akhlaq because we want people to be good to us. But we don't value akhlaq yet because for us to get good akhlaq, it takes a lot of effort. It's not easy. Now the elders, if they have good akhlaq, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for all these years of beautiful akhlaq. If they don't, do you reckon it's going to be easy to change? It's not. But what they can take away from this bayan is attach a bit of value on good akhlaq. Look at akhlaq quite differently. And for the youngsters, the advantage is, this is the right time to build your akhlaq. Do you think you have got patience, enough patience to withstand challenges? Who thinks the strong as an ox? Who thinks like life can throw any problems at them and they'll come out stronger? Who thinks like that? Anyone? Young? Brothers, elders, do you think if you had 5 problems, one after the other, you'd still be as strong as the first one? Who thinks that? Be honest. I don't think so. I can't. First problem, first challenge, might be able to get through it. Second problem, maybe. Third one, 50-50. Fourth problem, straight after, struggling. And fifth one, I'm lying on my bed. So akhlaq, what's my akhlaq level right now? I don't know. But the advantage for you young brothers and youngsters upstairs, young sisters, the advantage is, this is the time that you can look at akhlaq and say, I want to have the best akhlaq. So before I talk about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq, I want to remind ourselves of the importance of akhlaq in our deen. How important is akhlaq? Some things we all know. When we are born, we all see it. Everyone is talking about wealth. Everyone is talking about good grades, nice houses. Everyone talks about that. And Allah even says, "Zuyyina lin-nasi hubbu shahawat min an-nisa wal-banin wal-qana." Certain love of things Allah has placed in our hearts. So it's natural. But love of akhlaq, Allah hasn't put in our hearts. Allah doesn't mention it anywhere. Mawlana, does he mention anywhere in the Quran that Allah has put love of akhlaq, good akhlaq in our hearts? He doesn't. Love of wealth is already in our heart. Love of beautiful things, keeping it a bit vague. Love of beautiful things. Would you like wealth, brother? Would you like a lot of wealth? No? Huh? Don't say he's a parent here. Not going to be too impressed. They're banking on you. So, love of wealth, natural. Love of the beautiful things, natural. But I have not come across Quran. I read a lot of Quran, alhamdulillah. I have not come across where Allah says people have the love of akhlaq naturally in their hearts. Allah has not put it. So therefore, we have to work on it. We have to think, is this important? Or if it is important, what shall I do about it? How much am I willing to work for it? So I just want to first of all present how important good akhlaq is in our religion. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Bu'ithtu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq." Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given a very, very difficult and big task to spread Islam. But amongst that mission, he mentions that "Bu'ithtu li utammima makarim al-akhlaq." I have been sent with the mission to complete the noblest form of akhlaq. One of the missions of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life was to establish the noblest and the best form of akhlaq. Show to people the highest and the best level of akhlaq. That was one of the missions of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Akmalu al-mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqa." The most complete believer in terms of their iman. We're all Muslims. Would it not be nice to know how strong a Muslim is? If Allah sent Angel Jibreel today with a grading system for all of our iman, would we not want to know what's the level of our iman? Would you want to know? Would you want to know if how strong is the iman? If we could somehow find out, would you not want to know what level of our iman is? Would you want to know? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us one way of finding out. He says, "Akmalul mu'minina imanan," the most complete believer in terms of iman is the person ahsanuhum khuluqa, is the person who has the best akhlaq. How important is akhlaq then? It is what makes a Muslim into a good Muslim, into the best Muslim. You want to jump those grades? You need to make sure your akhlaq is also jumping. You can't, it's impossible for you to be the best Muslim where your akhlaq is pathetic. It's just not going to work. So do you want to be the best Muslim? Do you want to be known as a tremendous, valuable, good Muslim? Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you jump the rank by improving your akhlaq. That's how important akhlaq is. What's going to happen on the Day of Judgment? Allah will weigh our actions. Yeah, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will weigh our actions. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. He whose scale of good deeds will be heavier, they will be in Jannah, the comfortable abode. And if our good deeds are not many, and our sins are more heavier, what's going to happen? We may end up in hellfire. Isn't that what's going to happen? The Day of Judgment is a very simple task. Allah weighs our action. He tells us repeatedly, Allah will weigh our action. If our good actions are more heavier, our scale is heavier on the good side, we will end up, inshallah, in Jannah. Yes? We all want Jannah? We all want Jannah? So we want our scale of good deeds to be heavy, isn't it? So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, akhlaq, again, look how valuable akhlaq will be on the Day of Judgment. إِنَّ أَثْقَلَ شَيْءٍ يُوضَعُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْخُلُقُ الْحَسَنِ. Allah places our scale, and He puts our good deeds on our right scale and our bad on our sins on the left. But the weightiest, the heaviest actions that will be placed on our good scale and the right scale will be our good akhlaq. That will not only be good,
it will be amongst the heaviest, which means for our scale to be heavy, it will play a very, very big role, isn't it? Now you want to be good, but you want to be smart as well. You want to be good, but you want to be smart. So Allah gives you your scale. What do you want? Do you want millions of light stuff on our good scale? Or do you want heavy, heavy good deeds, which is going to really tilt the scale? Which one? What do you want? Do you want lots of good deeds, but very light? Or do you want some heavy good deeds, which is really going to put our scale of good deeds down? Which one? You want more, or you want heavy? So you've got to be smart, haven't you? Let me ask you this question. What's heavier? Okay? Let's see how smart you are. 1 ton of steel or 1 ton of feathers? Which one is heavier? Put your hands up if you think it's steel. 1 ton of steel. Which one is heavier? 1 ton of steel or 1 ton of feathers? Which one is heavier? Must be the steel. Can you carry steel? Feathers, goodness me, they're flying all over. What's heavier? 1 ton of steel. Are you sure? Some people here are thinking steel. Who thinks they're both the same? And who thinks the 1 ton of steel is heavier? I knew there was some. I knew. I just had to find them. And who thinks 1 ton of feathers is lighter? See? Good. MashaAllah. Okay. The reality is they're both the same, aren't they? It's 1 ton at the end of the day. It's one. Maybe with steel you just need to put small amounts. With feathers you probably have to fill this whole room to get 1 ton. But at the end of it, 1 ton is 1 ton. Doesn't matter how you fill it up. Doesn't matter how you... So when Allah gives us the scale, doesn't matter what you put on it, what you want is the heaviest things there to put your scale down. Our good akhlaq will be the heaviest. Not me saying, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna athqala shay, the heaviest good deeds on the Day of Judgment will be our akhlaq. And akhlaq is not done for anyone else. Akhlaq is actually our personal identity. I say often to my students, it's good to be good, and it's nice to be nice. It's good to be good, and it's nice to be nice. But we don't value it. In our society, there's no value to good akhlaq. There isn't. Elders, do you think our society, our community values good akhlaq? Do we look at a person whose akhlaq is tremendous? Do we look at them as a jewel, as a valuable person in the community? Elders? I'll give you one test. Okay? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us a hadith, a beautiful hadith. And he says, إِذَا خَطَبَ أَحَدُكُمْ تَرَضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُهُ إِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. If someone gives you, obviously not for the young ones, the elders here, how do we look at akhlaq? How do we value it? If someone gives you a proposal for marriage, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you like the deen, they're good Muslims, you like the deen, and you like the akhlaq, they've got beautiful character, they're very good people, get them married. Get them? Because if you don't, then there'll be widespread fitna. There'll be widespread fasad, corruption. Now I can't ask the youngsters, I can only ask this question to the elders. If you've got someone at home, marriageable age, and a khitbah came, a marriage proposal came, and he or she is a good Muslim, and their akhlaq is tremendous, are we going to look at any other thing and give it? Or are we going to pause for a bit? Which one? So, the youngsters, I'll have to share some bad news with you lot. You know what the bad news is? You know what the bad news is, the youngsters? No? The bad news is, If you work on your akhlaq and you be the best person, no one's going to give their daughters. No one's going to give their until you have a degree, a very well-paid job, best family, good name, and even a good house. Until everything's ticked off, you're not going to get, your akhlaq is not going to get you very far. That's just our society. Now you might say, is Mullah making it up? No, I'm not making it up. I run a matrimony service, and I'm telling you from experience. Akhlaq is the last thing that people look at. Whereas, in this hadith, what does Prophet ﷺ say? He just mentions two things. Someone gives you a marriage proposal and you like the deen, the Muslim, and you like the akhlaq, get them married. Because if you don't, there'll be widespread facade. Do you reckon we are prepared for that? We are not. So that tells us the community reality, how much we attach value to akhlaq. Oh, we don't value akhlaq. And that's why when we look at Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam akhlaq, we don't value it. We hear it, we cry, we go home. Akhlaq is not valuable to us. Do you understand? That's the problem. We will listen to the akhlaq of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll shed some tears, we'll feel so, you know, emotional, but it's no value. Get the richest person sitting here and talk about his accomplishment, the whole hall will be filled. Because everyone wants to be rich. You want to share his trade secrets, don't you? Akhlaq doesn't have that value. But shall I tell you something? Akhlaq is the biggest thing that you and I can have. In this world and in the akhirah. Our wealth will not take us anywhere. That's why I wanted to bring this introduction first. So that we know akhlaq is very, very important to a Muslim. And it should be. The second point, before I talk about the akhlaq of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that how does Allah talk about akhlaq in the Quran? Allah talks about Hajj. Hajj is the fifth pillar of Islam, isn't it? Yeah? Do you know how many times Allah talks about Hajj in the Quran? وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ once. الْحَجُّ أَشْهُرُ مَعْلُومَاتِ وَأَذِنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُكَ رِجَالًا. Roughly about 6 times Allah talks about Hajj, which is the fifth pillar of Islam. Do you know how many times Allah talks about fasting, which is the fasting in Ramadan, which is the fourth pillar of Islam? So fourth pillar of Islam, very important. But how many times does Allah talk about fasting in the Quran? As far as I know, only one place where Allah, it's a long verse, but only one place Allah talks about fasting. But do you know how many times Allah talks about akhlaq? Many, many times. It will not be an exaggeration to say Allah talks about akhlaq in hundreds of verses in different guises. If akhlaq wasn't important, Allah will not talk about Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would not always be constantly telling our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about akhlaq aspects. Akhlaq was so important, and our Prophet's akhlaq was so important. Allah would constantly monitor Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anytime our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do something which was not befitting of his akhlaq, his standard, Allah will straight away tell him off. Shall I tell you once or twice where Allah tells our Prophet that no, that's not acceptable? Whereas it wasn't wrong, it was just human nature. Once the people of Makkah, do you want to hear this? You want to hear this? Who was helping our Prophet's akhlaq? Who was developing him? Who was mentoring him? Who was supporting him in order for our Prophet to have the best akhlaq? Who was helping him? Anyone? Allah, always. In the Quran, Allah tells us that once the people of Makkah came and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam three questions. It's a long story, I can't go there because I've not even talked about our Prophet's beautiful akhlaq. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard those questions, he said, I'll tell you the answer tomorrow. I'll tell you the answer tomorrow. Are you not listening? Who's listening? Everyone? Okay. So what did the people of Makkah do? They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him three questions. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in response, he said, I will tell you the answer tomorrow. He was hoping that Allah will give him the answer because he didn't know the answer himself. He was hoping that Allah will reveal the answer to him. But Allah didn't the next day. In the tafsir, it mentions that maybe up to 15 days no wahi came. There's longer, more narrations, but the maybe around 15 days. No wahi came. Allah did not tell our Prophet ﷺ the answer. How do you reckon Prophet ﷺ was feeling? Were the people of Makkah his friends? Were they his friends, the people of Makkah? They were his enemies. They were looking for every opportunity to mock and find faults with the Prophet. When our Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll tell them the answer tomorrow, no wahi came. What were they doing, do you reckon, the people of Makkah? They were making fun out of him. They were saying, where's your answer? We're waiting for it. They were laughing at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah did not give him the answer. And then after several days, Allah reveals a verse that when you say, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلُ ذَٰلِكَ غَدَىٰ إِلَّا إِنْشَاءَ. Don't ever say that you're going to say something or do something tomorrow except that you say, inshallah. Who's always supporting, who's always working on our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhlaq? Allah was there. There's another story that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he arranges a meeting with the people of Makkah, and those people of Makkah, they say, we're only going to listen to you if no poor Muslims. Okay. No poor Muslim should be there. It's a long story. A blind Sahabi by the name of Abdullah Maktoum, he enters. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thinks that now these lot are not going to listen to me. He just has that feeling. Allah straight away reveals a verse that no, that's not the right attitude. These lot, the non-Muslim that you're hoping to convince, they may listen, they may not listen. Better to work on people that are hoping, that are coming to you, that are willing to listen to you. Allah straight away tells our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that that's not acceptable. Allah was always on the watch. How is our Prophet's akhlaq? Allah mentored him. Allah worked on him. Anytime our Prophet ﷺ did something that was not befitting of his high standard of akhlaq, Allah told him off. And at the end, do you know what Allah declared? Allah gave him a certificate and he said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you are upon the noblest and the highest form of akhlaq. Allah was mentoring him and the akhlaq certificate came at the end. Once Allah had mentored him, once Allah gave the certificate that our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon the noblest and the highest form of akhlaq, thereafter he said, he is the best role model for us. Allah didn't just randomly say, Allah mentored him, Allah gave the certificate, and thereafter with conviction Allah said, if there's going to be anyone that you should follow for akhlaq, our messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best person. Now how was his akhlaq, subhanallah? I'll say one or two things. If we want to appreciate Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq, there's two things that we should keep in mind. I can tell you, or you can look at our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's akhlaq yourself. One thing about akhlaq is, for you to demonstrate good akhlaq for a long period is not easy. Do you understand that point? For you to demonstrate good akhlaq for a short period is easy. For you to demonstrate good akhlaq for a long period is much, much harder. Number one. Number two, for you to do good when people are good to you is easy. For you to be good when people are mean and nasty is not the same. Those two points are very, very important. So, let me give you an example. For you to donate every single day big amounts, is that easy? Are you supporting the masjid? Are you supporting them? Now, for you to give big donations almost every week, is it possible? No, because you can't do good stuff, you know, lots of times. Sometimes you can. If you can do something all the time, repeatedly, big actions, that's worthy of praise. Number one. Number two, if someone is good to you, it's easier to be nice back to them. And if someone is nasty to you, it's much harder to be nice to them. It's much harder. Won't you agree? So that context is very important, isn't it? Was our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he demonstrate good akhlaq for 1 year, 2 years, or very long period of his life? In fact, all his life was beautiful, but we only know extensively his last few years when he became a prophet, because that's when everything was documented. So was our Prophet good? Did he display tremendous akhlaq 1 year or a very long period? And number two, did he be good to people who are good to him, or was he good to people who were mean and nasty to him? Nasty. These two contexts are very important. Now I will just share one or two examples. Subhanallah, I thought 40 minutes is going to be a long time, I'll be able to go through a lot. Which akhlaq do you value? Our Prophet ﷺ had all sorts of akhlaq. He was the most gentle, he was the most caring, he was the most forgiving, he was the most generous, he was the person who understood people the most. A sahabi says, can't remember his name, he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَكْثَرَ تَبَسُّمًا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I have not seen anyone smile more than Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have not seen anyone more forgiving than Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had tremendous akhlaq. Which one do you reckon is the most amazing of his akhlaq? Which one? Do you reckon he was the most patient? His patience was the most amazing? Do you think his forgiveness, the ability to forgive so many people who did, you know, horrendous things to him? Do you think that the fact that he gave away all his wealth, like Maulana Sahib said, yeah, if Allah gave him the Mount Uhud as gold, he would distribute everything. And that wasn't just words. He actually lived a life of poverty despite Allah making him rich. There's a hadith which clearly tells us, he never said no to anyone. To you, which one of his akhlaq, which one of his characters is the most amazing? Which one? Which one? And he did all of them throughout his life. And he did it to people who were mean to him. Now, which one is the most amazing to you? I can't start on any. I can't. I'll just share one incident. I can share so many. I don't want you to think our Prophet's life is isolated where one or two examples, no. There's hundreds of examples. So which one do you want to hear about? Do you want to hear about his patience? Do you want to hear about his forgiveness? Do you want to hear about his generosity? Do you want to hear about how caring he was? Do you want to hear how humble he was? Now, when we have a stage, when we have people following us, it's natural for us to become proud. What do you want to hear about? Which one? Which one is so amazing to you? Any? Eh? His forgiveness, subhanallah. Ji? His? Patience. Okay. Mona, can I just, one or two? Yeah? Which one, forgiveness or patience? Which one? Which one is more amazing to you? Yeah? I reckon forgiveness, we've heard. We've heard forgiveness. And if you are forgiving, then may Allah reward you. Because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was surely the most forgiving of all people. So I'll select patience. I'll select patience. Now, again, everything needs an introduction. Do you know that? Patience, again, is like an elastic band. It will one day snap. We don't have unlimited amounts of patience. Now, Maulana Sahib has asked me to finish. I think your namaz is at 42. And I need to finish so that to give you a bit of time. So, 2 minutes, I'm going to go through the story very quickly. Yes? Patience is like an elastic. We are not given unlimited amounts and reserves of patience. If someone be nasty to me once, I might just keep it in me. If someone be rude to me second time, shall I just pick on someone? Yeah? Shall I just pick on someone? Yeah? Alright. Brother, if you don't mind me. If someone be mean to you first time, can you cope? Maybe, inshallah, Allah reward you. Second time, if that same person comes and be mean to you, do you think you can cope? Maybe. If that third time, that person comes and be mean to you, can you cope? The elastic is snapping. We have limited reserves of patience. The more people test our patience, one day we'll say, forget that person, I'm just going to knock this person out. Isn't that how it's going to be? Once, let off. Be patient. Second time, maybe. Third time, maybe. But there will come a time where we're just going to... Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's patience was unlimited. Now, the story comes in, Nafhatul Arab, where Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam, who was a Jewish scholar, he became a Muslim. And he said, I saw all the traits that are mentioned in our book except for two. I've seen everything in the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in our books except for two qualities. What are they? He said, one is, if people be mean to him, he does not be mean back. Instead, he be nicer to them. That's one quality. And second, no matter how mean you are, his patience keeps on increasing instead of decreasing. Instead of losing the plot, his patience keeps on growing. The more rude and nasty you are, the more patience Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in him. So he puts our Prophet to a test. Are you not listening to the story? Okay. So Abdullah bin Salam comes and he says, the old Prophet of Allah, will do a deal. I'll give you some money and you will give me dates at a later stage. Our Prophet agrees. So they have an agreement that I will give you some money and our Prophet will give him some dates at a later stage. They agree the date. But guess what? Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam comes early. He comes early and he says to the Prophet, you owe me some dates, give me. Prophet said, but it's not the agreed date. You've come early. He says, no, it doesn't matter. Give me what you should give me. Our Prophet repeats the same thing, that we agreed a time. Why have you come early? Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam starts abusing the Prophet now. Our Prophet still maintains that we agreed a day. Why have you come early? Now he abuses his family and his father. Our Prophet still maintains that we agreed a day. You've come early. Then eventually he grabs the Prophet by his collar and he says, you don't fulfill your promise. You and your family, you're all like that. Hazrat Umar was next to him. His blood was boiling and he said, oh Adu Allah, oh the enemy of Allah, if you don't stop, then I will, behead you. Prophet smiled at Hazrat Umar and he said, oh Umar, that's not befitting. You should not say that. Instead, ask him, how much do I need to give him? And whatever it is, give him extra. And you need to advise me and him of this. Advise me to fulfill my oath and promise and advise him to ask in a nice way. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam, I had to rush through the story. Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam says, oh Prophet of Allah, this was just a play. It wasn't real. I wanted to see those two qualities. What are they? That if someone is mean to you, you reciprocate in a nice way. And if someone tests your patience does not have a limit. It does not snap. Can you see? He kept on testing him. Our Prophet's patience kept on growing and growing. This is the akhlaq of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's go home with this. A, the akhlaq is something worth making sacrifices for. Akhlaq is worth, the most important thing in our life should be our akhlaq. And inshallah, if you look at our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, the best examples of akhlaq is within our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to follow the beautiful teachings and the qualities of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.